Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Bill Hubbard is here. I got too many Bills on the show this hour. Bill Hubbard is first. Bill Dunkelberg is next. This is Bill Hubbard, William S. Hubbard, as we often call him. He's the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy and The Medical Privacy Rule, and our good friend and original member of our Brain Trust. One of the folks, ladies and gentlemen, who is now in his ninth year as an outstanding contributor to all the things that we do and to helping you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. You're making me feel like a senior citizen.
Well, I got some bad news for you, Bill.
We're there anyway, right?
You and I are. I think we're approaching that. I saw a cartoon the other day. I liked what they said. Let me see what they... Oh, no, we're at what they call it, halftime. This is halftime.
Okay.
You know, we're not middle-aged. This is just halftime. How about
that'll
that?
That'll work.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, Bill. One of the challenges that small business owners have every year is when we grow, as we grow our businesses, as we move in a direction where we need more management. At first we were the salesperson, then we hired a salesperson, then we hired another one, and then we hired three more, and before long we got five or six sales people, and we need a manager, so we hire a manager, or our warehouse becomes so big we need a warehouse manager, or we need an accountant, a chief accountant or a chief financial officer or whatever. We gotta have a layer of management to our business as we grow them, and as we find out the need for those people, where do we get them? Do we hire from the outside or do we hire from inside? What do you think?
Well, a lot of times we hire from the inside, or we promote from within the inside because we've got somebody who knows the operation, knows the job, knows our customers, knows our operating procedures, and they do it very well, and they've been with us from the beginning, and so we want to recognize and reward their efforts, and we want to give them more responsibility and more compensation.
And sometimes, Bill, I actually have heard many companies, large and small, actually make the statement about promoting from within what part of their corporate values.
Yes.
I mean, it's a big deal.
Some organizations do, and some of them recruit with that specific thought in mind, so that when they're hiring somebody, they're looking not only at their qualifications for the current position, but their promotability and their interest in further career growth, and
right.
That certainly is a factor to consider as well.
It's admirable to hire from within, to promote from within, but it can have its challenges, can it?
Well, it can be a double-sided coin, double-edged sword, whatever a little phrase we want to compare it to, but there's some good elements to it, and there's some concerns that we need to be alert for, and that's part of what we wanted to cover today was to some of those things to watch out for.
What do we need to know about promoting from within?
Well, the most typical circumstance that I see is we have a very good worker, and whatever skill that particular activity might be, and then we decide to promote them to supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And then oftentimes what happens is that person who is our top technician, our top sales rep, our top mechanic, or whatever that activity might be, all of a sudden now is expected to deal with subordinates and get those subordinates to be as good
mm-hmm.
as they were.
The people that,
and,
maybe the person, maybe one of the subordinates is the person who trained them.
That could be, too. And it's a whole different skill set in terms of supervising and dealing with subordinates compared to the individual work activity that the person came out of. So sometimes the person who was the best technician, I'll say, is not always necessarily the best candidate for supervisor.
Bill, there's a classic example, and you know this story very well. The classic example is the sales manager. The filling the sales manager's job.
Yeah.
The classic mistake that people make, and especially small businesses, is they decide they need a sales manager, and who should they turn to but their very best salesperson?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, in my experience, Bill, that's the biggest mistake that they make, because the best salespeople rarely make the best sales managers. In fact, it's usually the people who weren't so great in sales, but you know, they were okay, but they had other traits that made them good sales managers.
That's it, exactly. And then the effect is that you lose your top producer.
Yeah.
And it multiplies in terms of a negative effect, because now they're adversely affecting the rest of the whole work group because they're not effective in their new supervisory role.
And so what you've done is you've got somebody who's producing like crazy. You decide to promote them to sales manager so that you think that skill set will transfer perfectly. And then a year later, basically, you could lose the whole employee. You could have a failure. You lost the producer. You've had a failure in your management, and you lost the employee completely.
And you may lose some of your other ones who can't stand dealing with your unqualified supervisor.
It could be a major setback for your company.
It really can. So it's important to really carefully look at this and not necessarily just pick your top performer, but carefully evaluate all of the candidates for that position, looking, as we're talking, for supervisory and management issues, their ability to deal with employees, their ability to lead, to motivate, to manage, to solve problems in a constructive way rather than just effectively handle the particular task at hand.
Right. Absolutely. So give us some thumbnails. What should we do?
Well, some of the things that I would recommend is to, and this comes from my HR background, define the job that you're looking for. And this can be summarized into like a job description where you're identifying what some of the key tasks are. From there, you're looking at what some of the key qualifications are. So this can help you to sort out who are we looking for, what kind of candidates are we going to try to select and hire for the position that we mm-hmm. have in mind. And then also another key thing that I feel is important is to provide opportunity for your current people to develop, both through job assignments and through training opportunities that might be either internal or external, or through your suppliers, or through other resources that you have in the community, or through local community colleges. So there's further advancement opportunities that are and training and development that's being provided for the individual.
Right, absolutely. Well, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk some more about some things to do. And folks, this idea of always promoting from within, that's admirable on its face, but it can be problematic. When we come back, Bill and I are going to talk about how to handle that, how to make sure you take care of the people from within. You give them a shot, but you're not relegated to them for this new position. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Bill Hubbard and I will be right back. His website is hubbard.com, HUBBARTT.com. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. A little Santana for you. We're visiting with our good friend Bill Hubbard. William S. Hubbard is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. And the website is hubbart.com, HUBBARTT.com. And Bill, tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Well, you'll see kind of a front page, home page full of the 8 different books that I've written and published that deal with management issues, personnel policy issues, the privacy book, HIPAA privacy and HIPAA security, and performance appraisals. So all of that information is there, and then you click on another button, and you'll see some articles that I've written. There are some of them that we've talked about, and some of them that are also on the Small Business Advocate website as well.
Right.
And click on another button there, and you'll see some of the services that I offer for human resources consulting and compensation issues and policy advice and policy manuals and that type of thing. So.
And Bill is glad to work with clients virtually. You don't have to meet him face-to-face. He does that quite a bit, and so, folks, if you have an HR question, if you have a promotion question, you're working on a promotion, just contact Bill, and he'll be glad to help you. That's That's what he does for a living, and he does it well, and I certainly recommend him to you. Bill, let's get back to this promotion thing. You know, to me, the best – we're talking about promoting from within folks to fill up – to fill a growth position, or not, maybe not a growth position, maybe just one that's been vacated. The best – to me, the best and the healthiest philosophy on this is to say, okay, we're posting a job – and people can apply for it from within, but we're also going to see who's available from without.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to lay the resumes on the table, and we're going to pick the best one. And if it's from within, great. If it's not, then, you know, that's the way it works out.
That's a good approach. It certainly gives the internal candidates opportunity to apply and express their interest. But it also, in presenting it that way, is a very fair statement that we need to find the best candidate for the job, whether that candidate is within the organization or without, but we'll certainly consider everybody internally. Then this opens the issue, in particular, to how you respond to those candidates who have expressed interest, how you counsel them, how you advise them, how you coach them, particularly if you have to turn them down. And it requires a very careful approach, because oftentimes you can have somebody who's passed over for promotion. They see somebody else, either a coworker appointed or somebody from the outside appointed, and they're saying, hey, I know that job. I know this. I know that. And now all of a sudden they're very demotivated, and their productivity can fall off, and they might even be tempted to leave. So it's important to really give them a good sense of careful understanding, careful consideration, and then advise and coach them in terms of what other activities they need to do to make themselves more promotable.
Now, could there possibly be litigation over a poorly handled promotion?
There could be. I mean,
or not even promotion, a failure to promote, maybe I should say.
There certainly could be any personnel decision or human resources decision. There's a potential for a discrimination claim, for example. Well, you selected a white male, and I was a female, and I wasn't considered. Or I was a minority, and I wasn't considered. Or I was passed over. And so if that kind of circumstance potentially could occur. Of course, it can occur with any employment decision that we make.
Right.
So it is important to carefully look at, coming back to the qualifications, the job duties, the skills and abilities and experience necessary for the position. If you focus on those issues, then that's going to be the most defendable way to respond to a claim, and certainly to respond to an employee who has upset that they may have been passed over.
You know, it's probably for a lot of small businesses, especially small shops, it would seem a little bit weird for them to actually put a promotion notice up on the bulletin board or something like that. But that's really a good way to make let everybody know that you're going to be dealing fairly, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's very above board. It's up, puts everything up front. And the other thing is, your employees have friends, and they can refer
right.
friends and relatives.
Right.
So that opens up another recruiting resource to consider. And so as you're putting it up, it's very upfront. Here's an opening. We want to invite candidates who think they're qualified to apply. And if you know of friends or relatives that want to apply, be sure to pass their name along. So it helps to broaden that pool and gives you one more resource to consider qualified candidates.
Right. And shouldn't the notice include a job description?
Some sort of a description, I would say, yeah, and some sort of indication of qualifications. So if you're looking at four particular skills and experience sets, then this is a good way to identify that. So if it's a production job and they should be able to read blueprints and use hand tools to set up a machine, then those are very specific things that need to be identified. If it requires skills and knowledge of product or this type of thing, then again, that would be information to identify so that candidates recognize what the job entails and what knowledge and skills are needed.
And it could save time, because if you posted the qualifications, people who don't have those qualifications won't be knocking on your door and saying, hey, boss, I want to apply for the job.
They shouldn't. Yeah. Sometimes they do. But
sometimes they do anyway, but at least you can say, you know, go back and read the job description again. Hey, Bill, give us the website again, please.
Mine is www.hubbert.com, H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T, hubbert.com.
And the books are available. They can find out more about them there and find them wherever books are sold, right?
Very exactly.
especially the medical privacy. That's an important one, too, there, folks. Check out at Hubbard.com. And you got another website, too, don't you, Bill?
It's medicalprivacy.info, and we've got e-commerce there to sell the privacy-related publications.
All right, so check that out. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Quick break. Right back with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg. Right after these messages, this show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.